It's wonderful to have you here for the English session. We did in Telugu before, but it wasn't a video session. It'll be, you know, a wider circle, wider reach, no, if it's English. So it'll be wonderful to hear your interactive satsang, because you've been quite connected to Nangaru. Not only that, you were very devoted from your childhood. So you can tell in brief about your spiritual journey and elaborate about Nana and you, your relation, the satsangs and everything. Yeah.
Hi everyone, thanks to Usha and Grishma for giving me this opportunity of sharing my experience.
Yes, can you be a bit louder? The voice is very feeble.
Yeah, can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Hello?
Try increasing the volume. Yeah, yeah, we can hear you. Can you increase the volume?
Just be a bit louder,
Madhun,
that's enough.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
we can hear you.
Yes. So just be a little loud.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity, and it is a wonderful feeling to connect with spiritual family, Nanagar devotees. They're always people that I look up to. Whenever I see them, I remember Sri Nanagar, so it's a wonderful opportunity. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. About my journey, should I start from my childhood as usual last time?
Yeah, of course, of course. You can from your childhood, because that's a foundation, right?
Yeah, so my earliest, we are Orthodox Brahmins. We are Orthodox Brahmin family, and we are about seven, dad has got about seven brothers and one sister, and we are like about 30, 35 cousins. And all of us used to stay in one place, in old Hyderabad, old city Hyderabad, in one house. And this house, we used to have something which is called as the Kuladaivam, when the deity of our family. It was being worshipped for centuries now. Being Orthodox family, we have the deity which is like 400 years old. And this deity is Lord Vishnu as Krishna and Lord Vishnu as Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya is our guru and the family's guru. So we call him as Perumallu. That is the ancient one. Ancient one is our Guruji. And Vishnu as Lord Krishna was our family deity. So since childhood, I have been exposed to Orthodox Brahmin culture, where they used to do the meditation and all. Some disturbance?
No, it's fine. Yes. No, yeah. It's fine.
Okay, fine. So since I was a child, I used to see the Orthodox Brahmin culture in my joint family, where they used to worship all the idols with all the culture and all the required agama according to the shastras. But however, there are two things from my childhood which I remember very much. I must have been 4 years or 5 years old. I was very young. I remember having seen the light inside the sanctum near the Lord Vishnu's idol, and I felt that that light looks like God. I don't know if the idol is God, but the light which is there near the Lord Vishnu, it looks like God, and that is the first feeling of God that I had in my mind when I looked at the temple that our ancient our family had since 400, 500 years. The second thing is, I remember very well that one of the magazines in the house carried a picture of a man who was seated in Padmasana. Not Padmasana, a cross leg. It was a black and white photograph, and he had a mustache and a beard, and he was very thin, very delicate. And I was wondering who this person is, and I felt immediately attracted to him. I felt that this person is something who is a very, very close relative, close friend, close soulmate of mine, and I did not know who it was. Later in life, as time progressed, I realized that the photograph I saw when I was 4 years or 5 years old in that house was none other than of Sri Ramakrishna. So that was the two things that made me realize about God. That was, there is some innate love in me for God, and that innate love in me happened because of that flame, the candle flame that I saw in the temple and in my ancestral house, and the photo of Sri Ramakrishna. However, even though I had a lot of affinity and love for these things, over a period of time, when I realized that the Hindu gods, the gods, the deities and all, have got different concepts. They become jealous, they become angry, and all that stuff. I realized, I started thinking that probably these are not godly nature. Is not something that nature that God should possess. So my affinity for them slowly decreased over a period of time, and I went about my life on a regular basis with no major spiritual meaning, except for the fact that whenever I love it a lot. So, yeah, is the meeting still on? Hello? Yeah.
Yeah,
so then what happened is, as life progressed, spirituality took a back seat. Being spiritual, one was either the Lord Venkateshwara in Tirumala. Whenever we used to make the regular visits to Lord Venkateshwara. The second one was whenever I used to see the photograph of Sri Ramakrishna, an unknown attraction I had for him. It was not explained by any reason or kind. It was not as if that I knew he was. I thought I'll just get something out of him. No, it was just out of love. I used to just get love for him. And I did not know why. Because then that maybe my intermediate, I started reading a book called Swami Vivekananda, Call to the Nation. And that book was a fantastic book. It gave me a lot of the perspective about what actually Hindu culture is, what Hinduism is, what is the teaching of the ancients. All these things made me realize that maybe my heritage is an amazing heritage, and actually I am not actually very well versed with it. Every word that Swamiji spoke were like shocks to me, and I really realized, and I started to realize that probably that the faith that I was born in was actually a very, very deep faith, but I did not know much about it. So over a period of time, I started visiting Ramakrishna Mutt, Ramakrishna Mission, and the innate love that I had for Sri Ramakrishna over a period of all my the one and a half decade that I lived till intermediate it started fructifying, and it became so much that I used to spend hours and days together reading the gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna is a great master. They lived with God. Everything, all possible Ramakrishna literature books that are there, I have read for probably like 2 years. Throughout the day, sometimes throughout the nights, I used to read those books, and I used to get connected with Sri Ramakrishna. Even though the books had concepts like moksha, liberation and all that, I never used to understand them. I only knew that I loved this man a lot, and I did not know why. And Sri Ramakrishna, my love for him was extremely, extremely not dependent, or it was independent. It was not dependent on any desire that I had. It just mutually just came into me, and I just used to enjoy his presence. I used to go and talk with him in Sri Ramakrishna Mutt, the idol that used to be there. I used to tell him any issues that I had, and that is how slowly I started to become more and more into Ramakrishna as days progressed. During the most important formative years of my life, which is the intermediate, that is a class 11, class 12. It was so much that once I even went to Calcutta, and I was so overwhelmed by the city, I never used to wear even my slippers. When I used to be in Calcutta, and I used to walk all around Calcutta without wearing slippers, because I felt that this is the land, this is the city of the goddess. And the goddess of Sri Ramakrishna, and the Sri Ramakrishna has walked in the city, and it is not right on my part to even wear shoes or socks or chappal. And I used to walk around the city lost in the thought of the Divine Mother, lost in the thought of Sri Ramakrishna. It was so much that there came a time that in my intermediate I decided to become a monk, a sannyasin of the Ramakrishna order. That was a wonderful phase. I still remember my parents holding me and crying throughout the night, and counseling me, saying that it is not important to renounce and become a monk in order to have spirituality. One can even do so being a householder. And they started to wean me away from the thought of Sri Ramakrishna. I remember all the photographs of all the gods and goddesses, Sri Ramakrishna, whatever I had in my room, they took it out the next day, and my room was totally blank. There was no spiritual related things. Then they took me to a bike showroom. They bought me a bike, and they did all these things so that I started to forget about spirituality, and started concentrating more on the materialistic life, which obviously all parents would love to have. Then over a period of time, even though they started to do like this, I never had the concept of not having love for Sri Ramakrishna. Every time the love for Sri Ramakrishna was always there. And it was then that time, it was the MCET, that is a medical entrance exam. And I was a distinction student. Until 10th class, I topped the class as a distinction student in school. And suddenly, when I realized that I was not studying properly, I realized that in MCET, I got a horrible rank. I got 8,000 rank. People who are there with me, along with me, the same school, they got 5th rank, 10th rank, 50th rank in MCET. And I got 8,000th rank, and I was like so sad. I was like, I still remember I took the mic, and I started to cry all the way to Ramakrishna Mutt. From Sarnatha, I went crying in the bike to Ramakrishna Mutt. I sat in Ramakrishna Mutt and I cried a lot. I told him, see, I believed in you. It's not that you didn't do anything good or bad, but the problem is my parents are hurt. They feel that I wasted my 2 years, and I feel sad that I'm the reason for making them feel bad. I should have studied more and maybe make them happy by getting the seat. Spirituality aside. So the luck was, the next day Manipal exam results came, and Manipal Academy of Higher Education was a wonderful university, and everyone was very surprised that I got it in Manipal. And I started, and I was very happy, and I realized that this is a very subtle way that Sri Ramakrishna is actually directing me to Manipal or Mangalore, where I studied. And I went and joined Mangalore Medical College. The beauty of Mangalore Medical College was, I was all alone, I was free. There was nobody to hold me or control me. And there was a Ramakrishna Mutt and a Ramakrishna Mission in Mangalore. And I used to go and spend time with Ramakrishna. I used to spend time with the monks in Ramakrishna Mission and Ramakrishna Mutt. And I realized that this was Thakur's subtle play, so that I get to spend more time with him and I don't hurt my parents. I get a medical seat, I don't hurt my parents, and I also indulge in the love for spirituality that I innately had because of grace of Thakur. So this was the most important phase of my life, when I used to go regularly. I used to go and meet the monks. I used to meditate maybe in the sanctum, not as a serious meditation, but maybe I used to sit for some time. And there was a beautiful, there was a wonderful Swami called Swami Muktipadananda, I remember him. And it was, I would say that it was he who initially directed my attention to Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi's philosophy of who am I. Basically, I never knew who Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi was. And he told me that there was a saint in Tamil Nadu, and he said that, you know, the best way to meditate is on the eye feeling that you have. And there was some article which was published in Vedanta Kesari, I think, in that year, about Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi, who am I? And Swamiji said, you know, you should meditate on this eye. His eye is a wonderful thing that you should meditate on. So one day I just tried it in his room, and I remember it was pulling me like anything, and I got scared, and I just let it go, and I never meditated again on that eye, and I forgot about that concept for some time. However, as time progressed, as my visits to the Ramakrishna Mission in Bangalore increased, there was this day where one day I was sitting in front of the sanctum, and I was looking at Sri Ramakrishna, and without my knowledge, I fell into a trance, and I don't know, maybe 1.5 hours, 2 hours just went off, and I lost my sense of body consciousness, and I was extremely peaceful, and I forgot about what it was. Not like sleep, it was as if some sort of a beautiful peace that has overcome me. And for 1.5 hours I was in that state, and the moment I opened my eyes, I realized that the peace was bathing my body, and I saw this the flame next to Sri Ramakrishna, and seeing that flame, I had gone into that feeling. This was my first initial spiritual experience, which I realized was defined in the books, because I used to read books, I used to hear about trance and meditation, going to samadhi. I never knew what those mean. But when I had this experience, I realized that perhaps this is one of the small ways that indicates how it should be, how it usually is. Then what happened is, it was the next month or next week, I don't remember, when I was sleeping in the hostel, between the phase of getting up from the afternoon, the phase of just getting up, before I could become conscious of myself, I saw an immensely beautiful Sri Ramakrishna in a pose, sitting on a sofa, and he was looking at me and smiling, and he had folded his one leg like this, put his another leg like this, and he was wearing a loincloth. And I was very surprised. I said, "You never wear this thing. Why are you wearing this? Totally different thing. I never saw you in this pose. It's always like this, you are there in photographs, but you are like, you know, in a different pose altogether. What is all this?" And he just smiled, and the experience left me, and I woke up. It was not sleep, it was not a dream, but I realized now it was a state between waking up sleep to wake up. In that state I saw him. Then I did not pursue that a lot. Then what happened after a few days or a few months, when I came back home, I saw him again in almost the same state. When I was waking up from my parents, I slept on my dad's bed, and when I got up, in that same state again, this time, that time I saw him in black and white. Now I saw him in color, and I saw that he was looking at me wearing a whitish kurta and all that whitish kurta and a dhoti type, and looking at me and smiling. But he, his face was in color now, and he didn't have teeth. And I said, what happened to your teeth? And again he smiled. And then that vision went off. So this happened like in 1998, 99, and over a period of time I forgot about it. I didn't think about it so much. I used to remember and to wonder what, because it was not something like a dream. It was more like a vision. I used to wonder about it, but it didn't occupy a major part of my consciousness. Then as my college got over, I realized that I started to miss my friends a lot, and I loved them a lot, my bandmates. So then when I was thinking about my friends, I saw that I was actually in London tube station, and I had not gone to London till then. I went 2 years later after that, and I was in London, and in that London tube station, I saw that all my batchmates, all my friends and all that, and everybody was getting into a train, and the train left without me, and I got very upset and very sad, and I started running after the train, and then they told me, the train left, and I thought, okay, I'll take the next train and catch them. When I turned back and I saw Satya Sai Baba standing on the railway station platform, and he was standing there and he was looking at me, and he was smiling, and I was like wondering how come he is in my dream vision. I think it was a dream, yeah, it was a dream. How come he is in my dream? And he looked at me and he smiles and says that your friends have gone, the people you have loved have gone, you'll never derive that love, that enjoyment you had with them again. The enjoyment that you had with them, you'll never derive that joy again. It is time for you to give Guru Dakshina, he said. And I said, what nonsense are you talking? You just say, I'll just take the next train. And I'll catch the train and go and follow them. And though I start to move, my feet didn't move. And they were like lead. And then Baba smiled, a beautiful smile, and he took out three necklaces he took out. And he said that your Guru Dakshina is 30 rupees or 31 rupees. He said 31 or 30 rupees, he said. And he made me wear, he put the necklaces in my, around my neck, indicating, and there was a deity on the medallion. Medallion had a foot of a deity. It was a young boy with a spear and a snake around him. And I was wondering who that guy is. But the third time that he put the necklace, and I lost the dream. I lost consciousness, or maybe I slept. I don't remember. But next day when I woke up, I asked some spiritual friends that time, what does it mean? What does this all mean? So they said that maybe this, I mean, they said this, this deity, particular deity that Baba has shown, is Lord Subramanya, and your guru who is going to come will be Lord Subramanya. That is what my spiritual friends at that time, they told me that Lord Subramanya himself will come as your guru. That is what Baba has indicated. Then I asked, what is this 30, 31, 31, he said 31 rupees, or they said, we don't know what it means, we don't know. So time passed on like that, and I just went into my medicine and all that, and I was 30 years old, 31 years running. When I was 31 years of running, I had another dream, and this was an amazing dream. This was maybe the most beautiful dream of all, or a vision, I don't remember. I saw a beautiful waterfall, and under the waterfall I saw an extremely most beautiful, indescribable beauty of a small child. He was sitting under the waterfall and he was looking at me, a small child about 4 years old, 5 years old, very chubby, looking at me and smiling, a most divine smile I ever saw in my life. And all throughout his body, a snake was going on. There was a snake which was going around his body. And I was so amazed to see the beauty of the child. And I immediately realized with Lord Subramanya. And Lord Subramanya points out, he says like this, he says, look at that. I looked at that side and there was a Ramalayam. There was a temple of Lord Rama, and from behind Lord Rama a huge tsunami comes and it drowns me. The next day I got up, I asked a few of my friends that time, what exactly this means? And they said, be prepared, your guru is coming. The dream that you had about Lord Subramanya like eight years back is going to come. And he's going to throw a tsunami of grace on you. As you go into the devotion of Rama, he's going to throw a tsunami of grace on you and you're going to get emancipation through him. So I said, okay, fine. And then I went about my life, but it was, I think, 1 month later that for the first time I saw on the internet, I saw that there was a saint, Jinnoor Nanagaru, who is going to come and give darshan on Guru Purnima or maybe his birthday, I don't remember the date exactly, in Satya Sai Nigamam. And I was like, this can't be a coincidence. Satya Sai Baba coming, Satya Sai Nigamam,
yeah,
I am this is happening, let me go and visit this person, let me go visit this saint and see if he is the guru that I have been having in my dreams or that has been being indicated to me for so many years, nearly a decade and a half. So then I went I saw Satya Sai Nigamam. There was a huge rush of people and there was so much of people's eagerness to see the saint. I walked up and I took the last seat somewhere back at the end of the hall. I took the seat and I saw Sri Nanagaru on the dais and he was giving an amazing lecture about Advaita. He was talking about Sri Ramakrishna, he was talking about Ramana Bhagavan, and I was thinking that he was talking out of experience. More than anything, I realized that he's talking out of experience, and I thought, yes, this is definitely a great man. And I started to see him. And I don't know what happened, suddenly he stopped. He didn't talk, he became quiet. He went into Mauna, and that Mauna, the moment he went, how the head pounds, my heart started pounding. But, and I realized that he's a greater saint because his Mauna is so powerful, and I was not able to take it. And then it lasted for a few minutes, and after that he started talking again. And the meeting was over. So then we are humans, no matter how many times God gives us ideas about divinity, we do not have the strength to hold on. At least I didn't have the strength to hold on to my conviction or my understanding or analysis of Sri Nanagaru. And I went in front of the dais, I went in front of the stage, and there I started to look at him and I said, I have come for you, there are thousands of people around you, I have come for you, acknowledge me, because I don't know whether you will acknowledge. See, this is, in Sri Ramakrishna's literature, we see that any disciple who goes there, he always asks Sri Ramakrishna something, show me God or do this or. So all these questions are there in Sri Ramakrishna literature. So that literature came to my mind and I said, see, I have come to you, if you are God or if you are a saint, look at me, he acknowledged me. And the funny thing is, he looked at everyone in the hall. I believe me, I was standing here, there was an auntie here. He looked here. There was an auntie here and he looked here. But he never looked at me. And I was like, what is this? I Okay, perhaps he's a great saint, maybe, but maybe we don't have a link, and maybe I misread my signs a lot, and the signs that have been given, and I went back outside into the outside and then I just went out. I was about to wear my chappal. Then I realized again, I thought, am I behaving arrogantly? He's such a great man. Thousands of people have come. Why he should acknowledge me? And why I should make it a point to think that that is the reason he's great, or that is the reason he's not great? Thousands of people are attending to him. He's talked beautifully. His bhavana is great. Why should I unnecessarily, egoistically or in arrogance, put him to test? So I said, no, he's a great man. Let me just surrender my arrogance and just go give him pranams. So then I went and I climbed the stage from the back. And the funny thing is, the moment I climbed, he looked back. He turned back and everyone, they parted like this. They parted like this, as if whom Nangar is looking at. They parted like this and looked directly at me and he smiled. And I realized that smile and the Ramakrishna smile I saw about a decade and a half back was the same. And that was something that I got flabbergasted. I don't know. I was like, what is this? Is this really happening? And then he called me. He patted me on the cheek 3 times. And that cheek, that sensation on the cheek, it was there for about 10 days, 1 week to 10 days, that sensation, that tingling didn't go. I could feel the tinglingness in the cheek for about 1 week to 10 days. And I knew immediately that I was in the presence of an extremely great saint. And again, the human tendency, I gave him my card, my visiting card I showed him. And I said, I'm a doctor. But I by that time I could introduce myself, he appeared to be lost in some other thought and started to talk to others. Emantu Narandi, Emantu Narandi, he started to say, and then I slowly got pushed away and slowly he went away. So then the beauty of the touch is, within 1 week I got into my car and I started towards Arunachalam, and I went and visited Arunachalam. I saw the hill for the first time. I stayed in Sri Nanagaru's ashram and it was such a great experience. I was so scared to see the hill first. For most part of the journey I didn't see the hill. The moment I reached Arunachalam also, I shielded my eyes from the hill. I did not want to see the hill because I was very scared to see the hill. And I saw that this is God who is standing in front of me, and how can I see him with my impure eyes? I can't see him. So I didn't see the hill, I shielded myself. But something in me made me feel that you have come to see the great Arunachala, and there's no way that you should be scared about. So I climbed Nanagaru's terrace and I saw the hill, and it was so humongous. I saw that it was like an infinite being watching me. And I felt I got scared, more than peace, joy or anything. I got scared. My heart started to pound the same way it used to pound when I used to see Lord Venkateshwara in Tirumala. Whenever I used to see him, they say that when you see Lord Venkateshwara, all the bad qualities in you start to cure all the bad tendencies, all the vasanas, they start to cure and they leave you. Same way I saw the hill and I got so scared. I was like, it was an amazing experience. I did a Girivallam. I came back. But the pull of Arunachala was so wonderful that another week, within a week, again I started and I went back again to Arunachala. And this time, Sri Nanagaru was there in Arunachalam. And the beauty of this meeting was, I did not tell that I had come. He did not know. He had gone to Ramanashramam. I was waiting near his room. And one uncle was there, I forgot his name. The elderly gentleman, he said, don't worry, I'll introduce you to Nanagaru. And as soon as Sri Nanagaru came to the ashram, when he got down the car, some devotees were pointing to me and saying that he and Bhagwan are the same. If you're seeing him, you're seeing Bhagwan. I said, okay, fine. I did not have too much of understanding of Bhagwan's philosophy. I was more into Ramakrishna, but I said, okay, fine, that's great, that's wonderful. But I was looking at Nanagaru. Nanagaru got up the first floor, and there is a small alley, a small balcony which leads to his room. He was standing, walked there. I was standing near his room. The elderly gentleman went towards Nanagaru and he said, Nana, someone has come to meet you from Hyderabad. And he said, Doctor Gara Karani Naktel Sandhi Ananda. He said, I know, the doctor has come to meet me. And I was like, what is this? And then he looked at me, he did this to my
throat.
And then he took me inside the room, then he made me sit. And then he looked at me and he smiled. He looked into my eyes as if he was seeing a long lost soul that he knew. And then he saw into my eyes for quite some time and then he smiled. And then he asked me about myself. And I said, I'm a very big doctor in Hyderabad. I said, I'm a very big doctor in Hyderabad. I'm a very famous doctor in the entire state. I'm an orthopedic surgeon and this, that and all that stuff, I said. And he said, oh, you're such a great doctor and you are such a great name and fame at such a young age. You must be 30, 31. Such a young age, you're such a great doctor, such a big doctor you are. I said, yeah, I am. And he said, and he said something that stunned me. He said, then you must be very happy in your life. I don't know what he meant by the word happy. See, basically I'm a happy person. But the moment he said happy, I realized something in me opened up and I realized that whatever that happy he meant, that thing was missing in me. It was not that the word happiness totally changed its meaning the way he told. I don't know, he told it in a very different way. He said, "Meeru mar chala happy unnaru kadandi, unnaru kadandi life lo," he said. He said, so you must be very happy in your life. And that word happy, it was totally different. And then I said, and then he smiled and he did like this. And then, I told him about
my family. You started pondering on the word happiness.
Yeah. So then I thought, okay, fine. So then I told him about my family and all that stuff, and he smiled and we spoke for some time. And then I retired to my room and he slept. Next day morning, he opened the room again and I said, Nana, I'm going. And he smiled and he gave me some sapotas. He told me to give it to my family. And he said, I don't remember exactly what he said, but I wished him goodbye and I came off. So then what happened was, in the next few months, I think it was until Jan, Anagar came in Jan again to Sarnagar.
Hyderabad.
In that 2 months, we had a family problem, emergency. My mother had a health problem and she was quite sick and we were losing hope on her. And I was very pretty much worried. There was a surgery and got infected and all that stuff. And we were losing hope, Dad and myself were losing hope. So it was then that I came to know that Nanagaru was in Hyderabad.
Yeah.
And then I decided to call him. I thought I have prayed to all the deities, you know, the idols that are there, Lord Tirumala, I have Lord of Tirumala, I have prayed. Prayed to all the deities in my life, I have prayed. Let me pray to the living saint. And until then, I never had that feeling that still he is God. I didn't get that feeling. I thought, let me pray to the saint. And then I called him. And one week before, I called him in Jinnuru. He was in Jinnuru. I did not know you should call him or not. I got the number and I called him. And I don't know if I was invading his privacy. I was so scared. The moment he lifted the phone, I said, oh, Gurubhyo Namaha Nanagaru, I said. And then there was a pause. There was a pause at the other line and he said, I will come to your house one day. I will come to your house one day. And then next 1 month later when we had this health problem, they came to know that he was in Sanagar. I called one of the people. I said, you can come and meet Sanagaru. I went and I stood outside the door of Sri Nanagaru's house, and there was one lady from Arunachalam. I forgot her name. She was in a government job, and Vasundhara Gar, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. So she was there, and she said, "Come, I'll introduce you to him. He just finished his bath or something." And she took me inside, and he said, "Nangaru, this is Mithin. He's a doctor." And he looked at me and he smiled and said, "Don't wait outside. You don't knock. Our relationship is different. You're my Atma Bandhu. You can just come inside. Don't knock." Mithin Telakodhuvane, Mithin na Atma Bandhu andi ani annaru. He is my Atma Bandhu, I know Mithin very well. And then he looked at me and he looked into my eyes. And I told him, "Nana, something is worrying me." And he said, "Entandi ani ante." I told him, "My mother is not well." So then he pointed to a photograph on Ramana Maharshi, which was there on the wall. He pointed to the wall and he said, "I am Adutanandi, I know," he said. "I'm Adutanu, I'll ask him, I'll ask Bhagwan, I'll ask him about him." And the moment he said it, something, some subtle consciousness in me opened up, subtle eye in me opened up, and I looked at him. It was like Sri Ramakrishna was saying, "I'll ask the Divine Mother." Whatever anything was asked to Sri Ramakrishna, Sri Ramakrishna never said that, "Okay, I'll take care." He always used to say, "I'll ask the Divine Mother." And whoever, Vivekananda, anybody who asked anything, Brahmananda, anybody, even a normal person, if he had a doubt and he had some problem, Sri Ramakrishna would say, "I'll ask the Divine Mother and tell you." So then when Nangar said, "I'll ask Bhagwan and tell you," that moment a subtle consciousness in me opened up and I realized that Sri Ramakrishna is nobody else, is not separate. Sri Ranagaru, both are the same. And I looked at him and I said, "Mere Sri Ramakrishna andi," I said, "You are Sri Ramakrishna." And he said, "Emana Randi," he said, "What did you say?" "Emana Randi," he said, "Bhagavantudanna, Meeranna, Okkate andi naku ipandinchi, Mere na Sri Ramakrishna." And I said, "You, whether it is God or you, it is the same for me, you are my Sri Ramakrishna." And he said, "Cherish that emotion and nourish that emotion, that is enough. A okka bhavana chalani meeku," he said, "okkadu chalu meeku, okkadu chalu, a okka bhavana chalu meeku."
So cherish and nourish.
Yeah, cherish and he said that. So then after that, till date, it has never come to my mind of seeing him like a saint. Okay, when I talk to some people initially in my immaturity, sometimes I used to compare him to this god, that god. Maybe some devotees of those gods used to get used to feel bad. So I decided that whenever I talk about him to people who are having other interests also, I'll refer to him as the saint. But in my mind, in the heart of hearts, in the core of my being, there has never been even 1 second where the feeling has come that there is somebody else apart from Sri Nanagaru who is the cause of my universe. At least he is everything, he is the entire, he is the alpha, he is the omega, he is everything for me, and there is nobody else who is beyond, who is nobody else who is before. It is all Sri Nanagaru for me, and that is what I understood from that moment. By his grace, I never lost that feeling. I lost the attraction or affection for the body form of Sri Ramakrishna, and that merged in Nanagaru. Everything was Nanagaru for me. Sri Ramakrishna was Nanagaru. Any deity name you take, it was Sri Nanagaru for me. So it became like that, and there was an automatic meditation on him. There used to be times when I would just wait and think, "What am I thinking now?" And it used to be Nanagaru. Even if I used to do surgery. And I'm thinking of something, and I think, what am I thinking really deep inside me? It used to be Nanagaru. So automatic meditation on him happened since that time. There was never a time or never a moment when I lost connection with him. Every moment I used to be connected with him. Every moment I used to think about him. and it started to become more and more like that. However, as it was like that, being in the material world, there was a time when I started to wish that, you know, I get monetary help from Sri Nanagaru's acquaintance. This is how this work was. Basically, I thought he's a great person, a great saint with a lot of following, thousands of followers. And I thought if I can fall into his devotee's eyes, that I am an orthopedic surgeon who's close to Sri Nanagaru, maybe the devotees will start coming to me for orthopedic problems. And maybe I can treat them. And by treating them, I can earn more money and more name and fame. That is the thought process I had in me. So I realized, I remember one day in SR Nagar, the next meeting which I had, Sri Nanagaru was having his breakfast with his back turned towards me. And I went and I sat there, and Ramchandra Rajagar said, the Vikino chair and Vikino has come. He said, ah, Kucham Vikino. So I was not looking at Nanagaru, more I was looking into the people, the devotees who were sitting in that room. And I was wondering which devotee has an X-ray in his hand, which devotee has any, you know, investigation in his hand, which devotee is limping, and which devotee I can operate, and I can earn money, and I can increase my my
practice.
Brand practice and all that. So I was thinking like that. Nanagaru, I was not at all bothered, I was not seeing him at all. And then suddenly, everyone started looking at Nanagaru, then I realized he finished his lunch, and I looked at him. And he finished his lunch, he washed his hands, and then he looked at me, and then he looked at everyone else like this, and he said, if any one of you has orthopedic problems, if any one of you requires orthopedic surgery, you go and get it done only with Mithin. And then he looked at me and he smiled. And I was like, we hear the sound like this. This type of inner sound in the heart, like this it came. And that constant was there in my heart of, what shall I say, benefiting materialistically by being close to Nanagaru. I lost it forever. It never came back.
Mm-hmm.
It never came back. In fact, whenever I used to treat any Nanagaru's patients, or when I treated Nanagaru himself, I was so scared to death that, you know, the treatment should not go wrong.
Yeah.
Because there was no money. The treatment should not go wrong, because Guru should not feel bad about my treatment. So I lost that concept of earning money or earning name and fame through
the work. It was only do a perfect work.
Yeah. So in fact, I remember once Sri Nanagaru himself had a knee pain. And he called me, he said, from Jignuru, I think he called me, and he said, what tablet should I take? And I was so scared. I was like, I'm the only doctor Nanagaru found to ask the tablets. And I said, okay, fine. And I said, please take this tablet. And you won't believe, for next 3 to 4 days, I was scared to death. I was so worried that he'll come and say, or he'll call and say, the pain has not gone down. And maybe if he had saw it, I'd have gone into severe depression. But the moment I spoke with him 4 days later for another thing, he particularly said, Mithin, pain taggindi. Bob, taggindi Mithin. I was like, so happy.
Thank God.
It was like that. So he immediately removed from me the concept that there is something to gain materialistically. I should actually pursue that materialism by being in Sri Nanagaru's presence. So he removed that concept from my brain. And over a period of time, without me really going and trying to chase Sri Nanagaru's patients, my work started to increase, my practice started to increase, and I used to feel very happy about it. Few times I used to meet Nanagaru in Amirpet, or sometimes he visited a home near Shivam, and he visited a home near Maretpalli. So one day he told me that God has given you an intelligent mind and a kind heart, intelligent mind and a kind heart. Use these to elevate the suffering of your patients.
Very nice.
He said, do these two things, you elevate the suffering of your patients. Never neglect your practice. Take care of your patients, he said. And there is no spiritual talk, there is no do this japa, there is nothing like that with him for nearly 1.5 years. I think it was 2008 when I met him, and 2010 it was that I realized that Nanagar was having regular satsangs, spiritual satsangs also when he comes to Amirpet. So that time I used to have an abdomen, I used to have a health condition where my abdomen used to pain a lot if the pant that I wore used to be tight. So some sort of an inflammation in my stomach or something. So what happened was, Dhanagar was such an immense personality for me that I never wore, as much as I could remember, non-formals. Like t-shirts and all that in front of him. I used to be sure that I wear a tucked-in shirt, if possible wear a tie or a suit and all that stuff. Because it was something like I could not...
We remember you in suit most times.
Yeah, so that time, first time when I came, I tucked in my shirt and by mistake I put a pant which was tight. And I went and I met him for satsang at 5:30 in the morning. And he was sitting inside his room. And I tried to sit on the ground. And he said that, don't sit on the ground, you'll have pain in the stomach. And I said, he knows everything. There's nothing to hide. He knows everything, what to do. So I said, okay, fine. So then I unbuttoned my shirt and I sat on the chair. And then Bhaktul was there, and I said, Nana, I will also sit. So I went and sat somewhere in the corner. And one of the devotees, when Nana came and sat, called me and made me sit in front of Sri Nanagaru. And I realized one of the devotees asking questions and answering and all that. But I thought that, Sri Nanagaru is knowing whatever internally my mind is. Whatever thoughts are innermost, he is understanding. My health condition is understanding. I don't know what to do. So I said, okay, fine. Let me surrender to him. I am a normal person. I have got some bad qualities, plus or minus. But he knows everything. So let me see. Let me not hide from him whatever he knows. And so when he was looking at everyone, I thought, okay, I was hiding from himself, from him. I was trying to see that he doesn't see me. I don't see into his eyes. But then I said, okay, let's just leave it and let's give it, surrender to him. And then I looked up and I looked at him and I said, okay, whatever you have to see, you see now. And then he saw into me like for probably like 5 to 10 minutes. He's constantly looking into my eyes, and piece by piece it was bombarding. And I could see for myself, for example, there was a thought that was rising here. I could see the thought rising, about to rise, like a bud. Nanagar saw that, and you know, the thought again subsided. Then it was like this, he was looking into my mind, but I was not able to think anything. I could only look at his eyes. If I realize that some thought is coming in this part of the mind, when you are looking into somebody's eyes, you see a small flicker towards another part of the eye, you realize you're seeing that area, and that thought is subsided. And I was so peaceful, and I felt so blissed to see his...
I think it was the push and the pull of the Guru.
Yeah. So
push from externally and pull from within.
In within. So
then, your mind did not have space to exist.
there's no mind to exist at that time. It was just lost in the form.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah.
Then what happened was, I said, okay, now we have seen whatever you have to see. There's nothing, even things that I don't know about me, you know.
Yes.
Now you show yourself to me. This is what I told him in my mind.
This is very beautiful, huh? Show yourself to me, since you have seen everything of me.
You have seen everything, whatever is there in my mind, I know.
So now show yourself to me, okay.
What is there in you, show yourself, please. Maybe I shouldn't have asked it, I don't know. It just came as part of Prarabdha, destiny, I don't know. I just asked, please show whatever is there inside. And I don't know what happened, how it happened, but that moment I told, that I realized that Nanagaru never closed his eyes in that sense. When he opens his eyes, his physical eyes, and he's seeing everyone, it's a totally different concept. Okay, you're seeing me. But the moment he closed his eyes, two huge eyes, like the goddess, the village goddess that we see, with the huge eyes, they
yes,
opened.
Yes.
It was like he opened the physical eye, I could see the physical eye. The moment he closed the physical eyes, there was this huge goddess eye and was looking at me. I could see the entire universe in those eyes. I saw the entire cosmos, the entire depth of everything. I saw everything. I saw the immense peace, and those eyes were gazing at me. I mean, I don't know if other devotees could see that. All devotees, if anybody was seeing somebody, some stranger would have come and have seen Nanagaru. You'd have seen Nanagaru sitting like this. But for me, Nanagaru never ever had a closed eyes. I never saw his closed eyes. Whenever Nanagaru closed his eyes, two big, huge goddess eyes used to open. And I realized that this is the Divine Mother herself, and there is, you know, whatever the idea that I had made of, whatever idea that I had got about Sri Nanagaru when I thought that he is Divine Mother himself, he himself is showing me that he is Divine Mother herself, and there is no doubt or nothing needs to. See, what happens is with experience, when you keep on having different type of spiritual experiences based on what Guru's grace is, you stop to doubt anything. You believe it.
Correct.
There's no way you can doubt it, no matter how try to argue. When you're seeing something, even though how much educated, how much scientific, everything, whatever you are, things which are absolutely unheard of, things which are absolutely unthought of, maybe, I don't know, in
and maybe not comprehensible, to the mind.
Comprehensible to
but
the mind.
But it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And see, I'll tell you something original in that sense. I don't know if it is, recorded in any spiritual history or recorded in any spiritual book, that somebody, some saint who was there in some devotee's life or some devotees, whenever that saint closed his eyes, they actually saw another pair of eyes actually opening up. So this uniqueness which is there in this experience made me realize that my mind can't make up the illusion.
Yeah.
It's so unique and it is so peaceful. Whatever this, so many things. When he says, don't sit on the ground, you'll have pain in your stomach.
Yeah.
So once I couldn't meet him in Amirpet because I had headache. Next day I went, he said, Mithun, you don't have the headache now, na? He said. And he said, even if you have the headache, you are not the head which aches. That is what he said. He said, Adunna kuda adi meer kaadu andi annadu. Kalla noppi ledu kada meeku ippudu.
Meer kaadu.
Adunna kuda adi meer kaadu annadu.
Kaadu.
So much of experience he gave, so there was no doubt about it. I made up my mind that even if I don't want to believe, it is impossible not to believe. He has given me so much of... So every time, even till the last moment, when I went to meet Sri Nanagaru in Jinnur, the last time also, when he closed his eyes, I only saw the mother's eyes. I didn't see his closed eyes ever. I always saw the mother's eyes. Goddess's eyes looking at me. So then I realized he is Divine Mother herself. He knows everything. And there's no point of hiding things from him. And then I accepted that fact. And I started to become more and more regular.
I think it was more easier then. It was more easier then, because earlier it was, you know, a fear factor that probably he'll see through me. And once he's seen everything through, it's like, it's easy. Life is more easy.
You become more comfortable because you know that there's somebody who knows you better than yourself. And he knows
And guides you so well. Guides you in a way that you should be led. Yeah.
Yes. So better than what you might even imagine, which is good for you. So as I kept on meeting him for different satsangs, for his first teaching to me on that day, after the vision of the Divine Mother, he slowly smiled and he said, do you know what is Iha Para Labha Hina? And I said, I don't know what is Ihapara. He says, Bhagwan says about Ihapara Labhina. That is, if you know that it is you yourself that is everything, there is no such thing as profit, there is no such thing as loss.
As loss.
You are everything. When you yourself are everything, what is profit, what is loss?
Love.
And the first teaching he told me, and later I realized this is Advaita. That is what
beauty. Beauty, yeah.
He taught me Advaita. And as I came the next day, he became more and more verbal and he became more expressive with me. And he always used to make me sit. And I used to feel bad that other devotees, they come and they sit and they wait for some time. And I come maybe suddenly and they make me sit in front of him. So then I asked to Dr. Usha, and she said that, don't worry, we are there with him throughout the day.
Yeah, correct. I was about to tell you that even now. We were with him full time. So the little time you came, it was a pleasure to keep you in front of him, because he enjoyed having you in front of him also.
Yeah, I remember someone devotee told that when he's in front of you, his subject is amazing. He talks amazing.
Yes. True, and, true.
So I said, okay, fine. Dr. Usha removed that doubt from my mind. And so I sat that day, and he said, do you like Dvaita or Advaita? He said. I like both. I have no problem. Because, I like both. Because
Mithun is also, I have to interfere here. Mithun is multi-talented. Huh? He's a singer. He's a guitarist. He plays guitar. He draws. He does paintings. I mean, many, many things. Huh? I mentioned this and you are an expert at it.
Yeah.
And in a very natural way, you can dance also.
Yeah, so. There's an interesting about this.
So it's like you enjoy both. You enjoy both worlds.
Enjoy both. So I said, I like both. And he smiled and said, you will come to Advaita slowly but surely, he said. In Advaitam Vastarati, Mellaga, slowly but surely you will come to Advaitam. And then he said, Mere sadhana emana chestunnara andi, he said. As I said, from childhood, it is very rare for me to remember that I saw it and did japa. Even the Ramakrishna in front of meditation, I ever meditated. I used to look at him in love. Really, the only spiritual sadhana I might have done in my life was, I was always connected with love to Sri Ramakrishna. And I said, I am not doing anything, I have left it to you, I said. And he said, that is good, that is the correct path for you. You won't go walking, I'll take you in a boat, I will do the
sadhana. Yeah. Whenever you were in his presence, the topic mostly would be about Ramakrishna, it would mostly be about devotion and surrender. That he alone exists and you do not, that he was drilled into you. I mean, like, he was like, partial surrender leads to total surrender, and you were encouraged in the path continuously.
So that's what he said. And he said that I'll take care of you. Nenu mimmalni dattatu teeskuntunnanu andi ee roju, he said I am adopting you today. And your spiritual welfare is my. Meeru mee patients ni chusukondi. Take care of your patients. Leave your spiritual well-being to me, he said. Leave your spiritual well-being to me. And I was very. I was like, it's not like something I felt wow. I said, okay, Anugar is talking, it's his wish. And because moksha, liberation, all these concepts I never had. I only had love for Ramakrishna. I never knew what all these things are. So then he actually got up and he took me inside the room, Namirpet, and he gave me this book, Meditation and Spiritual Life by Swami Yatishwarananda. He gave me that book, and he said that within you will attain self-realization. You will attain it. I said, okay, fine. Okay, I'll attain it. And then he looks at me in the eyes. He looked at me in the eyes and he said, in this life, he said. He said, in this life, you attain self-realization. If the truth is the life, he said. So I was like, very surprised, and I just touched his feet. Next day again he started to talk in a very loving way, sometimes which was embarrassing. He said that ఇక్కడ చాలా మంది ఉన్నారు ఉన్నారండి, ఇక్కడ అందరూ చాలా మంది, కొంతమంది వైకుంఠంకి వెళ్తారు, సమ్ పీపుల్ విల్ గో టు వైకుంఠ, సమ్ పీపుల్ విల్ గో టు కైలాస, దే విల్ బి వెరీ మచ్ లైక్ దిస్, బట్ మితిన్ యూ వోంట్ గో ఎనీవేర్, యూ వోంట్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీ ఫాల్స్ స్టేట్స్, యూ విల్ గో డైరెక్ట్లీ టు గాడ్, హీ సెడ్. అండ్ మెనీ టైమ్స్ డ్యూరింగ్ దట్ టైమ్, ఈవెన్ దో ఐ వాజ్ లిస్నింగ్ అండ్ ఐ డిడ్ నాట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ ది కాన్సెప్ట్, ఐ వాజ్ మోర్ ఎంబారెస్డ్ బికాస్ talking so much, and I go, I'm not such a great guy, I have my vices, and I'm not such a great guy, why Sri Nanagaru is unnecessarily thinking that I'm a good guy and giving me all this blessings, it's not correct. And I was thinking like this, and I look, and he's smiling at me, and he said that you don't know your previous lives. I know your previous life. A punya done in a previous life has brought you here to me. And this sakshatkaristhadani, he said something like, this will be the reason for your emancipation.
Yeah.
Then I said, okay, maybe there's something in my past that he knows my previous life, which is making me talk like that. And as you said, over a period of time, more and more, I became more and more in loving with him. And one day when I was with him, in between of all devotees, he stood up and he said, he was talking about Ramakrishna, and I said, you are Ramakrishna. And immediately, Ramakrishna's eyes, you see his photograph, they're never like this. They're sunk behind the eyelid. The lower eyelid, they're sunk below the eyelid. So Nanna's eyes were like this. And the moment I said, you are Sri Ramakrishna, he looked at me and it was like he was giving me a vision. His eyes immediately sunk below his eyelids, and he looked at me the same trance-like look that Sri Ramakrishna has in his photograph.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, what did I do to deserve all this? And I was like, I was so surprised and so awed with his presence. And this thing that you were mentioning, Usha, that he was multi-talented and all that, there was one day, actually Nanagar was sitting, and that time actually I had done some research, and Bhagwan had said that Arunachala is in this point, there must be another mountain.
You're a writer too, you have written a lot of articles, yeah. You're a poet, you're a writer, yeah.
So Arunachala is there only, there is another Arunachala on the other side of the earth, Bhagwan has indicated. So nobody found it. So then I did a lot of research. I went into ocean mapping and Google and everything, and I did a lot of satellite imagery, and I found a mountain.
Opposite the Arunachala Hill.
Which resembled exactly like Arunachalam, but it was on the depth on the sea floor of the Pacific Ocean. And I said, let's call this Karunachala, and I published this article.
Yes, yes.
And that day when he came to the railway station, I went to meet him before he goes to Amitpet, and he's smiling. I said, Karunachala, Arunachala, nice article, he said. And then he said that you come to SR Nagar. And then I went to SR Nagar and I sat in front of him. And then I was like, how did you get all this? You are such a great artist. I said, you gave me all this. And you know, he was like this, and he looked at me like this, and he said, you have attained a very high spiritual state, he said. And he said, how come you have attained it at such a small time? He said, maybe it was there inside you, and this time it is being brought out.
Yeah.
And it was like that, and so as you said, anytime that time you said everything is there, you're this, that, and I said, no, you have given it, there's no doubt about it. Even when my practice was down sometimes, he used to ask me, how was your practice? I said, you didn't give me practice, there's no surgeries.
So it wasn't there, it was not much.
It's not there. And he used to look at me, I said, okay, fine. improve to that day. In fact, I remember I read this sentence where if the only sentence you say is thank you to God, that is enough, only prayer you say. So once he asked, constantly was asking me about practice, I said, no, Nanagar, it's not good and all that. One day he asked me, even though practice was very bad materialistically, I said, Nana, thank you, it is very good. I'm doing well. And he looked at me like this and he said, it will improve. And it improved. So my relationship with him was totally different. It was like even the hair of my head will move only if he says yes. I got that concept.
Yeah. So it's like nothing happens without his will.
Nothing happens without his will.
And that's not just words, but it was understood at heart.
Understood at heart, true.
At heart, yeah.
So then what
happened? So I think surrender, he just made you surrender, that's it.
Like,
effortlessly. Effortlessly he got you to surrender to him.
Effortlessly, true. I remember Ramakrishna's philosophy, I think two people, they surrendered to him completely. One is Swami Adbhutananda, Latu Maharaj, and another is Girish Chandra Ghosh. Both are totally different. One was a devotee, another was totally having a lot of vices. And Ramakrishna said, I'll take care of you. You have surrendered to me, I'll take care. So it was as these things were going on, one day, Nanagaru suddenly said, Bithin me the pilli margam, he said. Yours is the kitten path, he said. Suddenly out of nowhere, he said. And then he looked at me, smiled, and he said, Bithin, you will attain, this he told in English, he said, you will attain oneness with the cosmos, he said.
Wow, beautiful.
Oneness with the cosmos. So I knew he meant it in a maybe metaphorical way, this liberation, moksha and all that he meant. But I never got understood what actually happened. 10 days after he said this, don't mind for me being very frank, I actually went to see Rajinikanth's robo. Rajinikanth's
so
robo.
What?
in the film.
You're so honest with what you're doing. You are everywhere, and you know you're open about what you do. And we saw this post of yours also on Facebook. You're going for Robo.
I went to Robo 5 o'clock in the morning. Rajinikanth fan. I was like, let me go and see the first show in IMAX. I went with the entire family, and I was sitting with about 10 people this side and 5 people this side, and I was watching Robo. It was 10 days since Nanagaru said that word. There is a scene in that movie where suddenly Rajinikanth comes as the goddess. In a fight sequence, he attracts all the weapons. And
he becomes like the goddess.
The goddess. And I do not know what happened when I saw that scene. Sudden feeling of awe I felt in my body, in the heart center. And I realized suddenly that there was no such thing as a body. There was a small stream of pure light. Small stream of pure light, which was like a drop. Which was extremely peaceful. It was amazingly, infinitely peaceful. And it was inside me, as me. So it was not inside me, actually. It was very difficult.
It was as you.
It was as me, that's it. And there was no inside, outside. But I felt it here. And that small stream of light in that small stream of light, like a small droplet, bindu, that our ancient Hindu texts call bindu. The bindu, in that bindu, I saw the entire cosmos. I saw different worlds. I saw alien planets. I saw different stars. I saw galaxies. I saw everything. Everything that is all possible in the entire universe, I saw in that small dot. And that dot, Inka, it contracted more. And beyond that dot, there was an immensely infinite dark space which was conscious, which was so beautiful. And I was that space also. I was not only the bindu, I was also that space also.
Space.
It was so beautiful, so amazing, that experience. I suddenly realized, is this what Sri Nanagaru meant? I am finding myself one with the cosmos. It's not even 10 days since he told this. I saw left, I saw my family there, I saw right, I saw my family there. It was as if a small sort of a screen is there. But the real inside me, the real me is that a small bindu inside, which is pulsating with peace. It was like that small tap of water when we open, how the trickle comes. Like the trickle, that peace was immense peace. The thing was a trickle, but it was giving me infinite peace. And it lasted for 1.5 minutes. And then after that, I just it came back to normal state.
Came back to consciousness, yeah. Normal consciousness.
Normal consciousness. And I said, okay, fine. And then what happened was, this happened, I remember the date also, October 10th, I think. October 10th, 2010, it happened. October 10th, 2010 is what is when I had this experience. And okay. next month, what happened was, they said that 2010 December, Deepam is going to happen.
Yeah. Tiruvannamalai.
Tiruvannamalai. So I never been to Deepam. I've never been to Deepam. So I said, okay, fine, let me see if I'll be going to Deepam. But I never had the guts to ask Narangaru, nor sometimes I didn't have the time, I don't remember. But one day before, tomorrow is Deepam. Tomorrow is Deepam. Today I thought, okay, let me ask Narangaru. And I called him. I called Ramchandra Rajgaru, I think, or Bujji, I called in Tiruvannamalai. And Narangaru was sitting beside him. And Mithinandi, Deepam Kostar Antarante, Ramanandi and Anandar.
Yours was always last moment.
Yeah, last moment.
You would just give a call and Narangaru, can I come? Okay, you come.
No. So he used to ask, do you have patients? I said, no, patients, I've taken care of them. So then you come, he used to say, don't neglect patients. The last moment I called, I said, can I come? He said, come. So then my mother was very worried. She was like, 30, 40 lakh people will come, it seems. You don't have accommodation. You don't have anybody, you don't know anybody there. Narangaru is there, but how will he take care of you?
Yeah, I know. Because tomorrow, because they blocked the town, I mean, Monday before itself.
Yeah, I didn't know that they blocked the town. I said, Narangaru said, my mother said the exact words, Ayana chusukuntara, she said. I said, yeah, he'll take care, don't worry. And I took the early morning flight. I got down and I rushed towards Tiruvannamalai in a taxi. The taxi fellow was like, you're mad, sir. They won't allow you inside Tiruvannamalai.
Yeah, I know.
So they stopped us 5 kilometers away. Said, it doesn't matter. Let me take the auto. And I took an auto. And I, through small by lanes.
By lanes, they take you, right, correct. I mean, they know the way to get to whichever place you want to go. Yeah.
Ramanashram. And I was looking at Arunachala and I thought, and I said to it, I told Arunachala that you think that actually you have put me in problem, but actually you are blessing me because you are giving me different darshans.
Yeah.
I'll never come on these gullies again. From this gully, how do you look? You are giving me darshan. So this is your grace. Don't think that I'm feeling bad. I'm feeling very happy that you're making me go through all these gullies and I'm able to see you. In different and I felt so happy.
It's a huge adventure.
So just before I started, Anasuya Garu, who's there in Arunachalam, 1 month before, I had told her that maybe I might come to Deepam. She said that, okay, fine, I'll tell the ashram people that you might come. But one day before when I called her, she said that I told 1 month back, I don't know if they'll remember or not, the room must have been given off to somebody else because it did not confirm.
Yeah.
So then I said, okay, it doesn't matter. And I came to ashram and I went to the desk and I told the people in the desk that I've come to Tiruvannamalai for Deepam for the first time. Do you have a room? And they looked at me in a funny way, but they said, you are lucky. There is one room just behind Bhagwan Samadhi and you can have it.
Wow. Super, Super. Lord bless it. Like your mother asked, will he take care of you? Yes, he'll take care of me.
So then I went and I entered the room, I freshened up and I came running towards him. And By default, I did not have anything that day. Morning 5 o'clock I started, I did not have breakfast, did not have anything. It was already 5:40, 5:30, 5:45, and I did not have anything. I went to his room, and he looked at me, and he smiled, and he made me sit. And he said, Nenanta chusukunna. He said, I took care of everything. I took care of everything.
He said, he took care of everything,
He said, he emphatically looked at me, and he said, for you to be here today, without a problem, the room in Ramanashramam, everything I have taken care, he said.
Wow.
I did not tell I came to the room in Ramanashram. Nobody told him. He just said by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, you realize that peace? Did you realize that peace?
Mm-hmm.
He talked about the peace that I felt in Robo movie that time.
Yeah.
And I said, yes, Nanagara, I remember. And he said,
so he confirmed everything.
Yeah, he confirmed. He said, did you realize that peace and body consciousness are not related? That is, body consciousness and peace are not related. Did you understand it? He said, Nanagara, yes, I understood. He said, yes, you'll have realization, he said. And then there were some people who came and offered him things, some problems they were telling and all that stuff, and I was looking at him. And then finally they said that, Nana, it's time for your dinner, come and have. Mm. So I thought, okay, he'll ask me, Mithin, you also did not, because he knew. Mithin, you also did not have any food since morning. You come and have something along with me or something, he might say, or give some dinner to Mithin, he might say to people. But he didn't say anything, he said, come, and we went to the next room. And he sat on the dining table and he started having dinner himself. He didn't give me a morsel of food or didn't tell me any devotees to offer me food. But the funny thing was, the more he ate, the more appeased I felt. My hunger, I lost. What was the hunger? The more he was eating, the more I lost the feeling of...
feeling of hunger.
And I said, these are the things we see in spiritual, this thing. Okay, just 1 second, one x-ray has come. Just give me half a minute.
Sure. After sure. Yeah, sure. Beautiful, actually. The path of surrender, where everything is taken care of. You don't have to think about anything. You just have to go with the flow of life. And then at every step, it's glory. Because when you use the mind, you are confused, or you have this thing that you might be right, you might be wrong, you might have confusion. But once you have surrendered yourself completely to the higher power, and once the higher power takes care of you completely. Nice, Mithun. Very beautiful.
So then this happened that my hunger got appeased, and I went around Arunachalam. I did the Girivallam by thinking of Sri Nanagaru. It was such a wonderful, beautiful time that I had that night. And then the next day morning, I got up, and again I started to feel bad about myself. I was like, he's such a great guru and a great person, and I'm not deserving of him. And I've got all, good qualities, bad qualities. Maybe, you get that concept suddenly, the depressing mind depression you get suddenly. And I went to the Ramanashramam library, and I clicked through, I saw a book, Annamalai Swami Final Talks. I said, okay, fine, this appears to be a good book, maybe I'll take it later. I put the book there, and then I went and came to Nanagar Ashramam. And he was, I think, doing a Go Puja, and we were going around Go Mata, and then Nanagar Puja was there, and then people were going around Nanagaru. And then he got up and he looked at me, and I said, Guru Namaha, and he said, I'm going to Ramanashramam. He looked at me very clean. And I said, Anandagar, I'll also come. He said, okay. And I went behind him. Got down in Ramanashramam, he went to the library. And I followed him. And then he went to that book which I held in my hand. And he took the book and he flipped the pages and he put it there. And he went out of the library. I thought, this can't be a coincidence. And I took the book and I opened it. The paragraph which came when I opened it was, you are not the good thoughts, you are not the bad thoughts, you are peace.
Huh.
Annamalai says, you are not the good thoughts that you think, you are not the bad thoughts that you think you are. You are peace.
Beautiful.
That depression suddenly left me. It left me. The moment I saw that sentence, it left me and I followed him. I followed him. Peculiarly, he went into Bhagwan's old samadhi, where the photograph of Bhagwan is there.
Yeah.
He was there all alone. And Bujigaru was stopping all, Bujigaru or Ramchandrajigaru was stopping all the devotees. But they said, Bhitigaru Miral and you go. So I went. So in that hall, maybe one or two foreigners were there on the side, meditating on the near the wall. But Bhagwan was there, Nanagaru was there, and behind him I was there. And I was thinking, is this Sri Ramakrishna asking the Divine Mother about me? Because in Amirpet one day, he told me that Mithun, Sri Ramakrishna loves you a lot. In fact, he loves you so much that you will say no, no. But he will ask the Divine Mother to give you more knowledge, that is moksha. Mithyamani, Bhagavantudu, Sri Ramakrishna Bhagavan. అమ్మవారిని అడుగుతారండి అంత ప్రేమ రామకృష్ణుడికి
ఆయనకి
అని అంటే ఇక నేను ఐ థాట్ దిస్ నాన్నగారు భూ శ్రీ రామకృష్ణ ఆస్కింగ్ భగవాన్ లైక్ ద డివైన్ మదర్ అబౌట్ మీ లైక్ హీ సెడ్ అండ్ దెన్ ద మూమెంట్ దట్ థాట్ క్రాస్ మై మైండ్ హీ లుక్ టర్న్ హీ లుక్ అట్ మీ హీ స్మైల్డ్ హీ ప్యాటెడ్ మీ ఇన్ ద చీక్
And also, when you talk about these things, it reminds me. He said, "You are ever youth, Mithun eppudu youth andi." I mean, he will not age. He will not age.
There are a lot of things. There are a lot of things that are connected. It seems my birth star is Kritika Nakshatra. Kritika Nakshatra is the star of Lord Subramanya. I mean, people born in that star.
He used to say, Kumarudu, means you will be young ever, like Kumaraswamy,
In fact, again, another context incident I feel is, when he said that, I read somewhere in the internet that Lord Subramanya has six signs on his body.
Yes.
He has six signs on his body, and one is Palani Hill, one is Shivalinga, one is snake, one is a whale, one is peacock, and one is a white cream, whitish all over his body. So the peculiar thing is I saw everything in Nanagaru. His throat, there is a Shivalinga there, even normally. And that Shivalingam is also little like Palani Hill, which is there. On his hand, there is an extremely beautiful whale. This hand, it resembles a snake. His head, side profile, is like a peacock head, and he always used to smear himself in a white ointment whenever. So all the six signs that are there in Lord Subramanya, without anybody telling
him. They're visible on his. Yes.
It is not like somebody came and told, see, this is there in Nanagaru. It is something that happened in.
No, it's actually only you that recognized it and told all of us, because we didn't have that perception then.
That perception he gave, that's what I'm saying. These things don't come by ourselves. These are all.
Yes, it's given. He makes you realize.
He shows. It's like, you know, show me yourself. And these things happen only because it's there in a Katha Upanishad, I think. He says it's there that the Atman is known only by those whom the Atman wills to be known.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Even Nana said that many times. Atma ante adi ennukovali. Manam anukunte ayyadi kadu, adi ennukovali.
Adi ennukovali. It has to. So these are perceptions.
It has to reveal itself to you.
He also told that whatever spiritual experiences you have, you share with others, not because for publicity, but because mature souls will get benefited.
True.
So that's what he
said. I mean, sharing is so important, Mithun. Sharing is so important because in a world so full of temptations, in a world full of distractions, you don't need to leave anything either. The way your parents, you know, like they cried when you wanted to leave in your intermediate, you wanted to become a monk. It's like nothing is an obstacle. When you're in grace, nothing is an obstacle, and you are a testimony to grace.
True. So all these things, there's a fantastic way he touched me in so many different experiences I have. So one day I woke up in the morning, and I could not think anything. The moment, I tried my best to think, I couldn't think. It was so beautiful, so peaceful. There was no thought whatsoever. And I saw the pulsating peace, and I was so happy. I was extremely happy, extremely peaceful. Then suddenly thought of Lord Venkateshwara and Lord Sri Nanagar came into my mind. And you won't believe, I felt sad. I said, why this thought of Nanagaru, or why the thought of Venkateshwara is coming now?
When there is complete peace and nothing is really required, why again these forms
are coming? So then I told him that, and he told me, Mithun, Meeru Jeevan Muktal Avutarandi, you will become a Jeevan Mukta, he said. He said, become a Jeevan Mukta when I told him about this experience. And multiple times he has touched me in ways I can't even imagine. And his grace has been extremely high. It was something that I can't, thousands and thousands of...
Yeah, it will be difficult to express in words, because the experiences that we have with the Guru is something beyond comprehension.
Comprehension, true.
We try to put it in words, but we can't do complete justice to it.
Thousands of things, not so. For a small association that I had with him, maybe this 10 years that I knew him, I might have hardly spent, if cumulatively, maybe a 1 month max, if you take every minute and every day.
But the thing is, Mithun, like, because you walked every step in surrender, so every moment or every day of your life is a miracle, because you've been guided in grace and in the path of surrender. Yeah, so the duration doesn't actually matter, maybe, because you were already matured in your devotion. Yeah.
True.
And about your book also. You have to mention about your book about Brahma Yoni, because Nana mentioned and spoke about it many times.
So, I wrote about a book where there is a search for Brahma Yoni. Ramakrishna's philosophy, there is a search, there is a concept where Ramakrishna sees a vision where a triangle of light will be giving rise to the universe.
I see, okay.
Brahma Yoni. And it is said that even Lord Krishna had that vision. And it was mentioned somewhere in Gospel that Lord Krishna also had that vision, and Ramakrishna had that vision of that Brahma Yoni giving birth to multiple galaxies and the universe. And I told Nana about this, and he said that that is relative truth, that is correct, but that is relative truth. Whatever exists is God alone. Whatever exists is God. Whatever exists is...
From that concept, he has again told about Bhagwan. I was there when we were talking. I have a video, audio clipping of it. Everything is Brahman, because Bhagwan went a little step higher. But what Mithun is saying is true in the relative sense. Mm. And that will only appease the audience also. Because the step beyond is a little difficult for comprehension. But Bhagwan said Brahman alone exists.
Brahma alone exists, true.
That's what
he said. He said that is relative truth, but God alone exists, Brahma alone exists. That is the absolute
truth. So whatever appears is Him alone.
Him alone.
Yeah.
So like that multiple times. For example, one time Tirumala, there's a seva called Vastralankarana. Vastrabhishekam it's called, where the Lord is bedecked with the Vastram. And after having the bathroom in ceremonial bath, he's put in Vastram. And this is a rare seva, extremely difficult to get. Some people just say that 100 years also there are no tickets, regular tickets, and it's very difficult to get. And I wanted to see that seva, and I did not know what to do. So I knew only one thing. I showed that photograph to Nanagaru, and he looked at it and looked at me and smiled. And next month I got a call from Tirumala, saying that the chairman quota, one person is not coming, you can come and attend the seva of Vastralankarana. And the concept again, anytime any temple I used to go, even though I tried my best, I never used to see any deity there. I used to see Nanagar again. Even now when I went and saw, I saw only him. I said, what is the fun of coming to Vastralankarana when I am seeing him only?
When I'm seeing you only wherever I go.
I told him it is like you only are being bathed, but I felt Lord Subramanya feeling I came into me. So he said, Vishnu plus Subramaneshwara is Venkateshwara, he said. In English, he said. that Vishnu plays Venkateshwaraya, Subramanishwaraya, he said. And I get multiple experiences. I have some things that I can't even describe. Maybe two or three more experiences I'll try to share. One was the first sentence he told me when I called him first time in my life. He said, I'll come to your house.
Yes.
I always used to say that, okay, it's been 10 years, he has never come, maybe he forgot his promise, but he's Nanagaru, he can't, you know.
It's nothing like he gets it.
So, untruth, it can't be, the universe will make it happen.
And it happened very beautifully. I mean, like, it's so, I mean, everything, I mean, in surrender, I feel it's such beautiful glory that things happen in a very divine way, and you are flabbergasted by, you know, the divine plan, the way it happens, the way it unfolds. Because we never ever imagined that there would be a wedding close to your home. And in such ill health, he would travel to Hyderabad. True. And he says the plan is something, but then he lands up in your house after the wedding. Because it's on the way, it's just 5-minute drive. It's amazing.
It was amazing. It was an amazing time. It was wonderful. And that grace is great. He came to my room. And I'll tell you, the beautiful thing is, we actually made our one bedroom was there. We got that ready for Nanagaru. But I don't know what happened. The other room, which I used to spend time in my college, where I used to meditate on Sri Ramakrishna and all that.
He chose room, to be there.
He chose that
he chose
room.
To be there.
He went and slept there. And
he slept for an hour. He said, I will rest here on this bed. And he rested for an hour.
And I was so surprised. I was like so happy and so blessed. And he spent some time. And then after that, I didn't see him again in Hyderabad. I had to travel to Jinnur. He was not well. Last time
but that was his last trip to Hyderabad that he happened to come to your house.
That's true.
That
was the last trip. So then obviously I met him for the last time when I saw him in Jinnur, December 19th I saw him.
He left on December 29th.
29th, 12 o'clock.
So exactly 10 days before he left his body.
Yeah. So I thought, okay, fine. Then see, it's a different thing when maybe Guru is having physical body. But I had experiences after the physical body Guru had left also. There was this patient who came to me to see me, and she said, I have brought sweets to you. And you know how I brought the sweets? She said she did not plan, but when she slept, Nana came in a dream and he said, Nitinder Kellamma, the sweets.
Sweet Patkalu.
Go and give him the sweets.
How sweet.
I was so touched. There's another lady who came and who took an injection with me recently, and she told me that one day in Jinnuru, she stays somewhere near Jinnuru, she was having a lot of problem, and she was not able to come out of that problem, and health problem. Some knee pain or something, and somebody told her, go and show Dr. Mithun, he'll take care in Hyderabad. And she said, how can I travel so far? And with a worried heart and mind, she came to tell Nanagar about this problem. Nanagar looked at her and smiled and said, Amma, in a Mithun Amma, I could watch Mithun Murthy. Problem in the world, Mithun
Chappandi. Actually, he told, any doctor who is close to Nana, came to Jinnur or he went to their place, he would introduce them to all the devotees and made sure that the problems of the devotees were addressed by the doctors, Mithun. And one of those close doctors, devotees was you, Dr. Madhavi, Dr. Vivek sir, and Dr. Ramarogaru. I mean, all these doctors who were very close to Nangaru, Dr. Ravindra Babu Garu. He would, tell the patients, tell them to see the patients among devotees and to address all their problems. Extreme compassion, my God. Yeah.
What was touching about this incident in particular is that lady feeling sad.
Had a dream. Yeah.
No, the lady feeling sad that she can't travel to Hyderabad to show me.
Yeah. And you were in Jinnur.
I was there. He made me come there. So that's
amazing.
One thing about Jinnuru, when I came first time to Jinnuru, I think it was Nandagaru's old house when it was there, and I met him in the portico. He went inside to have some cup of chai or something, tea, cup of tea or something. He went inside to have a bath, I don't remember. Ujjigaru took me, said that Kannamagar is there at the back of the house. You come and meet her. So I do not know, I just went and I did not know about Kannamagar at all. So I went and I prostrated to her and I said, if Sri Ramakrishna, your Sharadama to me. My mind is full of that. And she smiled and she gave me an apple. And I took the apple and I held the apple and I came back. And I sat in front of Nanagaru. Sri Nanagaru was so happy to see the apple in my hand. He was smiling and smiling and smiling, looking at the apple in my hand. He was looking up like this and he was looking down. He was looking up. I did not know what he meant, but why was he so happy? This is one incident of Jinnuru that was very touching. I remember the way he used to. Again, as I said, thousands of incidents. I can just keep on going.
Yeah, you can go on and on and on. Yeah.
On and on and on. Because that is why sometimes I feel I have the mouth and keep on talking about him. I can keep on telling about so many incidents that came to my hospital. And that time some issue was going on. And the moment he came to the hospital, that issue was vaporized. There was no problem at all. And yeah. There's no need for him to come and get admitted.
And we were wondering, especially me, I was wondering, why did he get admitted when there was no need? we had this interactive satsang in Telugu, only then I knew. I was like, I had question in my mind, though I never asked Nangar or anything. I was like, why did you have to get admitted for nothing at all? You generally don't like even to go to hospital, and then here you are admitted for no reason. And then when you told me, it was like, oh my God, makes it so clear that...
Quite a big problem that I was facing that time, but the moment he came, the problem disappeared. And
He voluntarily got admitted.
Yeah, the funny thing is I knew he came for me. He was getting admitted for me because he knew I was going to...
Crazy, my God. What beautiful love is that? I mean, he just told Ramakrishna loves you so much. He was telling how much he loves you. Yeah, it's the same.
So it's like that. I mean, I can keep going on, I think, but these are the things I immediately remember of my association with him. Even now, whatever be it, I still have that feeling. I still get that feeling. That the grace is keeping on flowing and that love is keeping on flowing. There has been no change whatsoever.
Yeah.
In that feeling. So wonderful. I keep thinking about, did we really...
Maybe you can tell about the last time you came to Jinnur.
Yeah, last time to Jinnur. Yeah, what happened was...
I mean, when he was in his body. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the first time I think I really did not listen to Nanagar in one sense. He said, why do you want to come so far? In one sense, he said that. And I said, you're not well, so come, let me come and visit you. And I came to Jinnuru. And the problem was, when I came, I faced a lot of problems in the road. There were some vehicle issues and all that. So I came pretty late to Jinnuru and I could not...
Yeah, you came late, yes. You were supposed to come 2 to 3 hours early, but it took a lot of time, yeah.
Yeah, it took a lot of time. So then when I met him, he was like writhing in pain, and I was like, basically having read through so much of literature of Ramakrishna and even Bhagavan now, I was thinking, okay, maybe he's not in pain, actually he's taking all our sins, and he's, living them off so that we don't... suffer from them, and he's like, suffering for all of us, and he's actually not in pain, he's in the super consciousness of the divine consciousness. So I touched him, I talked with him, and I said, Nana, I'm with him, I don't know if you're with him. So then he pressed my hand like this.
Yes, he squeezed it.
So then I realized that he understood. And then I said, okay, Nana, and I came off. And on the way back, I called Dr. Usha and I said that he'll be fine, don't worry, because he said he'll be fine. He said that. So I said, he'll be fine, don't worry. And Dr. Usha said, no, what are you talking? He's having a lot of problem, health-related issues. It's really difficult for him to come through.
Carry on.
So please go and see him once again. I got so scared, and then I turned back and I then ran again. I went again. I saw him and I cried. Till then I didn't cry. I cried. I held his feet and I cried. And I realized that probably this is the last time I might be seeing him. And then I came off.
That was a very touching moment, Mithun, actually. That's why I asked you to mention it here, because it was a very beautiful and touching moment. Because in his physical body, that was the last time you were seeing him, right? And he was so fond of you, because I think every time you met him, almost all your sessions, I was there. I was a witness to the beautiful bond you and he shared. So that moment was quite heart-touching, you know, like we all had tears also seeing you break out like that, and probably that could be your last darshan of Nana, this life.
Yeah, definitely, that was the last darshan.
Yeah.
I realized why he said don't come, because I think he did not want me to see him suffer.
Because
if I had not come that time, my last darshan of Sri Nanagaru was as Sri Ramakrishna sleeping in my room.
Yes. At home.
Maybe he wanted me to have that room in my mind. When I was adamant, I said, I will come and meet you. So then I came.
Yeah.
Then I think 10 days later on Vaikuntha Ekadashi.
Yeah, at 12 o'clock, sharp 12, he left his body.
Mm. I told everyone, I told Vijay Garu, I told Shiva, I told this. See, I don't feel like he has left.
Yeah.
I feel like there's no moment that he's not there. He's always
there.
Yes,
true, true.
I never felt it myself for the last time. It is how it was.
And as you said, he's vibrantly present then, now and always. And he's the one guiding us. He's the one looking after every need and leading us beautifully in this path without any sort of obstacle to the path, you know, in the path to realize the truth. And Jivan Mukta you will be, as he promised. You didn't ask for it. You didn't ask for it. He just, you know, like, sure, I mean, best. He said he'll bestow it on you. That's it.
Yeah, because all these concepts, I did not know what they mean. I only know I love Ramakrishna, and after Ramakrishna, I knew I love Nanagaru. Without my understanding, without my effort, I used to meditate on him for days, hours. Every thought, it used to be Nanagaru only that time. And there was no sannyas. I'm a householder, and there was a beautiful family that I have because of him, and love the family, my family also.
Yes.
So not something
and,
like
and blessed all. I mean,
that's all. True.
He blessed you, he blessed Vani, he blessed children, and then he named them.
Yeah, he named Janu. Janeshwar. I tell you, please name my younger son. He called me and he said, Janeshwar.
Janeshwar.
not Janeshwar, he said Janeshwar. And was the name given to him, my younger son. Multiple things, I really don't know. Maybe I only can say, as you have summed it up, that in spite of me, despite of me, it is only his grace that made me surrender. I might have had many vasanas, many tendencies. In spite of all these things, he made me surrender to himself.
Because when the truth chooses, we do not know why and how.
We don't know. And I think we should know also. There's no real truth is something that...
Yeah, there's nothing to know either. Yes, absolutely. When you're engulfed by grace, we don't need to reason out why, how. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. So I always felt that he gave me more than I deserved. But I always felt that, okay, he knows better. And I'm only happy that... not happy, I'm blessed. See... as a doctor, I may not be happy that I was born and served patients. Okay, service is good to one level of, but again, there is a bhavana of
you yeah. and me, in that sense. I'm only happy that I was drawn in a sense, and I saw Advaita walking. No, there's no Advaita in it. I saw Advaita walking, I saw the cosmos, I saw the divine middle, I saw the entire thing. I'm only glad and comfortable with that. As a particular station, you got because of him. So there's nothing that I have done. So I don't feel any prominence in that.
You don't feel you're the doer.
Yeah, I don't feel prominence about the talents I have because he only gave. But I definitely feel that maybe I didn't deserve it, but he was given. He gave me more than required grace and love. That's something that has always been a part of my life. Will always be a part of my life.
Yeah,
there's never going to be a time.
And in the end, it'll be only he and no more Mithun.
Yeah, that is true. That is absolutely true. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, amazing Mithun, amazing. It's been so wonderful, and I think you need to talk more and more times and share your thousands of experiences. Thank you so much. And it must be so tiring, no? Like you traveled, and I thought you had a driver and you were driving all through. And as Nangaru said, you don't, age does not relate to you.
No.
Thank you so much, Mithun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Om Sri Na. Yeah, Agrishma.
Yeah, one point I want to mention is Didi.
Yeah.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, sure. We can hear you.
Yeah, Mithun had contributed a lot to the satsang website, maybe.
Oh,
and
I
the
see.
Website was very new. He was the one who had given a lot of support to commit to the state what it is today, actually. So I don't think so. I want to leave this session without saying that statement, because like Nanagaru himself acknowledged many times that Dr. Garu had been contributed a lot to the website.
I think
without the support of Mithun, we wouldn't have come to this far, actually.
He's been the foundation for website also then, your website.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it will be very injustice if I don't say that. So
yeah.
I was planning to say in the beginning, but nevertheless, thank you so much. You have paused it. You have to resume writing to the website.
Mithun, whenever you find time, I think you could write articles and just forward it to us so that we can add to the website.
He told me write articles for Mountain Pass, he told me. Send you articles for Mountain Pass, he told me. Maybe I have to do. Again, as I said, it doesn't happen when we want it. It happens when he wants it.
Yeah, so maybe he's just hinting it to you now. So, about to happen. Thank you so much, Mithun. It's been a wonderful session, and wishing to have more and more interactive with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Sorry for
Om Sri Na. No problem. No, it was wonderful, because late does not happen in recording. Recording goes anyway, and the timing doesn't matter in recording. And our devotees were happy because we had these devotional songs before the session began. Okay. Om Sri Nana Paramatmane Namaha. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Good night.